Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the June. Is it June? Well, it's July, but it's the June VS Code release because that's how we roll here. I don't know what, but it is. It's the June VS Code release. Welcome to be specific. That's 1.5.8. I know, super exciting, but we actually have a bunch of very interesting things to talk about today. So thank you for joining us. A couple of notes for you. If you're new with us today, this broadcast will last 30 minutes and we'll cut it off right at about 30 minutes. So that's what you can expect. And a couple of reminders, you can follow us on YouTube at the, it's just code. So youtube.com/code, like, subscribe, whatever it is that you're supposed to do on YouTube. Please do that there. We'd love to engage with you on YouTube. We're also on TikTok. Some people think that's cool. Some people don't. That's okay. So you can check us out there as well. We usually post several videos a week, tips, tricks, all kinds of stuff. You have to check it out for yourself so you can see and let us know what you think. And that's just at, if you just search for VS Code, you'll find us there. And then let's see. We've also got a meetup group. We have a VS Code meetup group. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So we have a VS Code meetup group. Where you can stay updated on more community events, things like this, different releases, live streams. We do live streams, not just on releases, but on a lot of stuff. And we got some exciting things coming up, including streams with the folks over at Prisma and several others. So check that out. Okay, today, this is what we're going to be getting into. There's a lot of stuff new in the release, but we're going to sort of dive into three things. One of them is Markdown Math, which is a new core extension. We'll talk about why that is and what it is. Then we're going to talk about terminal editors, which is a new user interface paradigm for working with a terminal instance. And then lastly, we're going to wrap up with the new workspace trust, which I'm sure you've seen and probably have thoughts and feelings about. So we're going to get to that. And we're actually going to have the group PM here on to talk about workspace trust. So we're looking forward to that. So with that out of the way, I think I got, did I get all of the housekeeping and notes? I did. I nailed it first time. All right. So with that, let's bring up to the virtual stage, Matt, to talk about Markdown Math. What is Markdown Math, Matt?
Yeah. So Markdown Math is actually adding math rendering to VS Code's built-in Markdown preview. So over here, you can see that I have a Markdown file. And what I've done here is that I've created some math formulas in this. And if I actually go and I open up the preview just by clicking on the little icon up here, you can see that I have these formulas actually being rendered nicely as math. So what is going on behind the scenes is that we are using KTech to actually go and render these formulas. There's two different ways that you can actually write formulas inside of Markdown Math. So the first one is by using single dollar signs, and that will create an inline math formula. So you can see I have this Markdown heading here. I'm then using single dollar signs to define this formula, so just x squared. And you can see it's now being rendered nicely over there. The other way that you can actually write a formula is to create a math block. So that's what I'm doing here for this more complex formula. And you can see that I'm using double dollar signs, and I've wrapped the entire equation here in that math to create this math block. And that is being rendered down here. It is also being centered. So if I kind of expand things here, you can see that that math block is being rendered as centered, whereas the other one is just being rendered as part of the normal content. Again, the actual rendering that is going on in the syntax that we're using here, we are using KTech to power this. So you can go check out the KTech documentation about all of the different equations and macros and things that you can use when actually defining these formulas. But this is something that I think is kind of helpful. And it's actually inspired by something that we added to our notebooks originally. So if I go over to a notebook here, you can see that this is one of our GitHub issue notebooks. These are Markdown cells inside of the notebooks, and you can see that they support the same Markdown rendering. So this is the notebooks are actually the original reason why we added this feature. And then once we added it to notebooks, it sort of made sense to add it to the built-in Markdown preview as well. Now, if you do not like this feature and are finding it gets in the way for some reason, it's really easy to enable. So if I search for math here in the settings, I can just go turn off the math feature over here, and then it will just ignore those dollar signs like it would by default. But we do think that this is something that might be helpful to you. And it's kind of a really cool thing to see the math formulas being rendered nicely in the Markdown preview. So I'll just go turn this back on. We get our math formulas coming back. One other quick thing to note is that we also now have syntax highlighting for the equations here. So you can see that for this math block, I get some nice syntax highlighting that can help me write the math equation itself. So that's just a quick look at the new Markdown math support inside of the built-in Markdown preview.
Very nice. So I have a couple questions. The first question, Matt, is what does that equation do?
I'm afraid I don't know. That was one that I stole from the K-Tech website. So,
okay, because it looks like the one from Good Will Hunting where he's at the board and he's like trying to solve the equation. It looks like that one right there.
Yeah, it does look appropriately complex, I think.
Yeah, complex. Exactly. Impressive. Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at the comments over here and someone was like, great, now I have to know the maths and the Markdown maths. Yeah, no, you can't get away from math. It's impossible. So another question for you here. I know it says that this is a core extension. What does that mean exactly?
So being a core extension means it's built in. It's using APIs that we provide to other extensions. So it is using the same APIs that other extensions can use to extend VS Code's built-in Markdown preview, but it is built in. And the reason why we chose to have it built in is, as I said, we wanted to have support for math in notebooks out of the box so that people didn't have to go and install an extension. Once we added that, it really just made sense to enable inside the Markdown preview as well. It was really not adding very much extra code to go and enable it for the Markdown preview in addition to enabling it inside of notebooks.
So just for people who aren't familiar with how to do this, can you show folks how to look at the built-in extensions that they get with VS Code out of the box?
Yeah, so I can go over here, and if I go to my extensions view, so extensions, I can then in the extensions view search at built-in. This will go and show all of my built-in extensions here. So I can go in here and just kind of browse through things. And if I wanted to search for math, you can see that I have this Markdown math extension. It is a separate extension than the Markdown one. So you can see we have these different Markdown ones, like the Markdown basics is providing syntax highlighting. Language features is what actually provides the preview and things like the outline. And then we have Markdown math, which goes and adds the math support for the preview. So if I really wanted to just disable this feature entirely, I could even go in here and say, I'm going to disable this extension, and I could go and disable a built-in extension the same way you can disable one of the extensions that you've installed.
Okay, so we have a question from Abbas who said, this is an excellent feature. I've been using this in Jupyter Notebooks inside of Qiskit. I don't know how you say that. Qiskit lately. And now having it in Markdown separately will be very useful. Does this run on GitHub?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I would have to test it out, but there might be a way to get it to render on GitHub. I'm not sure if it supports this syntax or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of people asking whether or not this this will run for render math formulas on GitHub as well. Yeah, now I have to understand the maths and the math blocks. So another question, is this part of the Markdown spec, this $$ syntax? I've never seen this before.
This is not. This is something that is sort of a convention that has been established, but it's not part of the official Markdown spec. And that's why it is developed as a extension that is separate from the normal Markdown language features that's providing the preview, and why we have a setting to disable it as well, because there might be cases where it conflicts with something you're trying to write.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's why we have the option to turn it off, because it might actually, because it isn't part of the spec. Okay. Well, great. That is Markdown math. Any last questions on Markdown math? Get them in. Going once, going twice for Matt. All right, Matt. Well, thank you very much. That is Markdown math. And everybody go solve Matt's equation. All right. So that's Markdown math. Just a quick reminder here. Let's see. Let me get back to my housekeeping notes. Quick reminder to like and subscribe over on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/code, and check us out on TikTok as well, which is tiktok.com/VSCode. Couldn't get code in both places. We did try. Okay. So what's next? Terminal editors. So this one is interesting. Terminal editors is a terminal actually in your editor, and you may be thinking, don't we already have terminals in the editor? Well, you have a terminal via VS Code, but you haven't had it in the editor. So here to explain more about that is Megan. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
So what are terminal editors, and why are they different than what we had before?
Yeah. So this has been a longstanding feature request. And at the beginning of the iteration, we actually sought to find out from users why people were requesting this. And some of the answers we got were they want to be able to have a unique grid layout. It's highly configurable, more so than what the panel can offer. They want to be able to view the output or problems components of the panel simultaneously while also seeing their terminal. They might have a long running output that they want to see while they're actually editing code or use something in their terminal as a reference point. So a broad spectrum of reasons one might want to do this, but it is optional if you don't want to do it. The panel is exactly as it was before, but I will just show some of the ways you can do this. So one way you can move a terminal to the editor area is by just dragging and dropping. And then if you want to go back, you can just use the context menu like that. Another way you can do this is by running the move to, my keyboard is not working. Sorry, one second. And the Bluetooth has been like disconnecting and reconnecting. So just one second, sorry.
Is Megan, is that your mouse that's disconnecting?
Okay, we should be good now.
You good?
Yep.
Okay.
Just coming back online. Sorry, one second.
Sorry, Bluetooth once again, ruining everything. Thank you, Bluetooth.
Yes. Okay, so I'm back. So now I can run the move to editor area command, and does the exact same thing.
Let's get Megan's screen back up on the stream if we could. Oh. One second.
Sure.
Oh, Megan, I think you need to share your screen.
Yes, I will do that. Okay, so like I was saying, in addition to dragging and dropping, you can also run this command, which will do the same thing. And then you'll notice these additional actions up here. So you can create a terminal editor of any of these profile types directly. And you can also split to create a terminal in the editor that way. So are there any questions so far?
Yeah, so there's several questions. The first one is, don't we already have terminal tabs? Like, didn't we ship terminal tabs in a previous release? What is that? And how does it compare to this?
Yeah. Okay. So terminal tabs are a part of the panel experience, as you can see here. And this is just supplementary to that, so that you can like drag, for instance, from the editor area to the tabs list or the opposite. So the tabs live in the panel, and then there are a bunch of use cases you might want to just have the terminals in the editor area. So like, let's say you don't want to see the panel at all and you just want your code and your terminals, then you might like this kind of a layout. So we're just offering more flexibility and configurability for people who want it. And for those who don't want it, they do not have to use it, and the terminal tabs in the panel have not been modified.
So still there. Awesome. So another question here. How did you get that syntax highlighting in your terminal there? Not the top one, but the bottom one.
How did I get what?
The syntax highlighting. The, you got the green and the purple and the yellow and the blue. How'd you get that in your Bash terminal?
That just happened by default.
It's just there magically?
Yeah.
You're not using like ZSH or anything like that?
No.
Wow. That's the default.
Yep.
So I wonder, can you do the same thing with PowerShell? Can you get a colorful blinging terminal?
I'm sure you can. I would have to do some research. But yes, I believe you can.
Are you a PowerShell person or a Bash person, Megan?
I like to mix it up.
I like that. You didn't pick a side. You could have picked a side. You didn't. What theme are you using? Several folks asking.
Yeah, this is my personal theme. It's called Candy.
Say it again.
My personal color theme is called Candy.
Candy. Is it published to the store?
It is, yes.
Okay, we'll have to drop a link in there for folks who want to install Candy. Very nice. Let's see. Couple questions. Let's see here. Vincent asks, can we also search for terminal tabs using Control P? You know how you can toggle between files?
Yes. And there are some complexities with that at the moment, but those are fixed now in Insiders and will be in the recovery fix as well, the release in a few days.
Is there a way to rename these tabs so that when they show up in the quick pick like that, you know which one's which?
Yes, absolutely. So you can rename them or change their icon or color just using the context menu.
And then Control P and it shows.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And you can change the color too. Oh, very nice. And I didn't know you could do that.
Yes.
How did you change the color? How'd you do that?
Just using the context menu.
Oh, change color. Huh. I should right click on more things.
And you can also change the icon this way.
That might be the handiest thing I've seen in quite some time, Megan. I'm going to be honest. I did not know about that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. MJB Wilkie is saying this is a tad off topic. Hey, that's totally fine. We roll off topic around here. But is there a way that I can save my terminals per project? I want to open a server and a client terminal with some special icons and colors. Can I save this somehow?
You can save profiles that you can then quickly create. But upon opening a project, I don't believe there's currently a way to just create terminals. You might be able to do that with tasks, but we'll have to get back to them on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm off the top of my head, I'm not aware of how you could do that, but I'm sure it's possible, if not through VS Code, through, you know, some plugin for Bash or something like that.
Yeah, potentially.
Okay, anything else on terminal tabs, Megan? Is that, or terminals, not terminal tabs, what are they called?
Terminals in the editor area. So they're the same terminals you know and love, but just in the editor area as an option.
And what do we call the feature? We call them terminal editors?
I think we're calling them terminals in the editor area.
Oh, this is a really good question. Mario asks, can I pop the terminal to another window?
Well, Mario, I have great news for you. Window drag and drop, the branch I'm currently on, is in pursuit of that initiative. So, yes, very soon.
Wow, Mario. Mario is really looking ahead, thinking down the road. Good job, Mario. All right. Thank you very much, Megan, for that demo of the terminal editors. Very nice. I do like the different tabs up top. That is extremely handy. I've often pined for that for my terminal.
Yeah, it's helpful for differentiating with the color and icon and name.
Totally. Well, thank you for joining us. And I hope the Bluetooth leaves you alone for the rest of the day.
I hope so too. My Surface ergonomic keyboard letting me down.
It's for me, thank it's my you. Mouse just constantly goes to lunch. And I'm like, why? I haven't touched you in like 5 seconds. It's not an excuse. All right. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is a big feature that we shipped. And I'm sure that you've seen it. And it's called Workspace Trust. And we wanted to talk a bit about that because there's been a lot of there are a lot of thoughts on Workspace Trust. And so to do that, we have Chris Diaz with us today to talk about Workspace Trust. What's up, Chris? Good, but I'd be better if you unmuted.
Hey, Burke, how you doing?
It's good. I read your lips. Did you see that?
That is good.
I'm a seasoned pro. All right. Workspace Trust, Chris. What, for those who haven't seen it, although I'm pretty sure most people probably have at this point, what is it? And what do people need to know about it?
Everyone has seen it. Yes, guaranteed. As long as you upgraded, was it 1.5.7? So Workspace Trust. So we just published a blog post on this last week, which kind of goes into the background. I can just summarize it here. But Workspace Trust is basically the way that you tell VS Code, do you trust the content of the folder that you're opening? Like, do you trust the people that wrote the content, that wrote the files, that pulled in all the NPM modules? Do you trust them? Like Burke, do I trust you? Do I think that you're a good guy? You're not trying to do bad things. You write good code. Yes, I generally trust you. If I don't, I don't know who this Burke guy is, we don't have a trust relationship. That prompt that comes up at the beginning of Workspace Trust basically says, hey, do you trust that person? If you don't, it tells VS Code to slow down. Don't run any extra code. Don't pull anything out of the workspace. Just kind of go in this browsing lightweight mode that doesn't run any code that you're not familiar with or you're not seeing. If you do trust it, you're basically saying, hey, cool, we're going to go on and party on. But the thing is, VS Code doesn't know who Burke Holland is, right? Only I do, right? VS Code is just looking at bits on disk. And so I'm giving VS Code that critical piece of information that says Burke is a good guy. I trust what he's doing. So you can run completely as you normally would. If I don't know you, then I'm telling VS Code, slow down. Don't. So that's Workspace Trust.
But what is it that I could possibly do? Let's say you don't trust me. What is it that I could possibly do in VS Code to hurt you?
Oh my God. There are so many things that, you know, the internet's a wonderful place, but it's also a scary place. Some of the simple ones are, you know, NPM install. Do you know all the code that is getting installed onto your machine and when it's going to get loaded? There are extensions in VS Code that will use underlying tools, like ESLint is a good example. ESLint, the extension basically just wraps ESLint, the tool. And ESLint, the tool, is really, really cool because it can be configured in a number of different ways. And one of the ways you can configure it is to use ESLint that's in the node modules folder. You can have ESLint look up the directory hierarchy for configuration files. You can have configuration files that are actually code for ESLint, right? And so when you open up a workspace that, and you have the ESLint extension, that extension is going to start trying to do things on your behalf. But somebody could put like a bogus ESLint in node modules, right? And then that thing is going to run, but you didn't know. You just said you ran NPM install and a bogus one got installed. I mean, that's the most sort of obvious one that comes up, but there's others like linters can run. You can point at different versions of the TypeScript compiler. There's name squatting things that can happen. So there's lots of things that you need to sort of be aware of that can run when you just simply open up the folder.
Yeah, and I think with all of, you know, there's more and more stories in the news every day about systems being exploited and the different ways that that's done. And I think developers typically don't think about that. You know, we just kind of install and, you know, hopefully you're not like me and you don't copy paste commands from Stack Overflow. Not a good idea. But one of the things that people have sort of pointed out is that it's just really big, right? It's in your face when you open VS Code. It's huge. Why did we choose to do that and not make it something a little more subtle? Like maybe just do it by default and let people opt out of it so that it's not every time.
Yeah, I mean, we actually tried that. It was like a number of months where we sort of iterated on the Workspace Trust experience. And if you're using the insider's build of VS Code, you can sort of follow along these types of features. It's great the landscapers just showed up, so there's the lawnmower. And so we actually tried this model where we call it like a passive trust model, where we put up a little badge and it said, hey, you know what? Like, you're in untrusted mode, click here. And, you know, at your leisure, when you're ready, you can make this decision. But we'll run in a restricted mode by default. And we put it in front of a bunch of people and just watched them use it. And they all felt like the product was broken because they did something, right? It's like, I did something wrong. I need to fix it. And so we watched them spend their entire time like trying to fix the thing that they think that they did wrong when they did nothing wrong. We were just saying, hey, we're going to run in this mode until you tell us. Other models, you know, with notifications that prop up, people just ignore the notifications unless they're ready to deal with that notification. They ignore it. So they, boom, just goes by. And again, they're in this mode where they're trying to fix something that they didn't break. And that's a terrible position for somebody to be in. So we got to this point where, like, we really wanted to make it really obvious that you had to make this choice right up front, which is why you have the dialogue. But at the same time, we realized that that's a big dialogue. So we made it sort of more powerful to give you control right at that one point where you can say, you know what, yes, I trust it, no, I don't trust it, or I can configure things for myself right out of the box, and then, you know, maybe not be, you know, prompted for the rest of the way. So we try to give you that power right up front while letting you know that these things are going to happen.
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions. Well, it's the same question from the same overhand. That's asking, are there plans for us to be able to save workspaces as signed? In other words, like, can we sign these with certificates, authenticate some way so that I know that a workspace has been signed and is secure? I guess the same way that we would sign a website.
No, that's an interesting idea. We have not, that I know of, have talked about doing something along those lines. The thing that we're doing is we're, right now, at least, what you can do is you can say, you know, a particular folder is trusted, and you put anything underneath it will therefore be trusted. So all of the repositories or workspaces that you want to sign, you can basically put them into a single folder and say, all right, anything under that folder, I trust, and so you won't see a prompt for that. That's kind of the closest thing I can think of right now.
So here's another one for, I think this is, Theorem Geek. I can't. Geez, is it Monday or Tuesday? That was terrible. Is an editor and IDE the best place to do this workspace trust prompt? I'm not sure I understand that question. Other than, I wonder if they're just asking, is VS Code the right person, the right intermediary to do this, or should that be done somewhere else?
I mean, it's an interesting question. If you think about it, like, from an editor versus an IDE perspective, you know, VS Code is an editor, and you would think, oh, well, it's an editor, it's lightweight, I just want to go and you know, look at my code. Notepad's an editor, but Notepad doesn't do anything for you from a developer perspective. We think more of an editor is like, I just work on files and folders. There's no project system. There's no sort of ceremony about how you look at what is on disk. But you can have extensions that sort of extend the functionality of VS Code. And you can get it to some point where people will consider it an IDE because you've installed such a set of extensions. And the workspace trust stuff is really, again, like we said, it's like, it's basically letting VS Code and those extensions know if they should work at their full capacity or if they should limit themselves. Right? And that's generally a good thing. And most modern editors, developer code editors today, do this type of thing where some sort of code can run out of the workspace to improve the end-to-end experience for developers. So it's a good question. But I think that, like, trying to strike that balance between an editor and an IDE and being safe and not being safe, like a lot of things that we do in VS Code, we give you the control to have the experience that you want. But, you know, we want to be sort of secure by default. And then that sort of introduces the fact that you know, we're going to ask you this question up front, but you can configure it. And I can sort of show you some things.
Yeah. If you want as well. I think that's sort of the rejoinder question there is, what if I want to turn this off?
Yeah. So I'm on Windows, right? But I'm running Windows Subsystem for Linux. So I've got an Ubuntu image that I run here by default. And I'm a folder, it's called Scratch. Right? It's just don't get in here. So I can go into some folder, my app, and I say code insiders, because I always run insiders. I want to open up a current folder, and my favorite command is -R, which says reuse the current instance. Now there's no instance of VS Code running at this point, so I'll start it fresh, but we'll see later what that will do. So I've got my folder opening up or connecting to it using the remote WSL extension, and I get that prompt, right? And this again is saying, hey, do I trust the author, right? Because it's not so much the bits that are on there, because I don't know, you don't know what's in the bits. It's like, did you as the author do the due diligence? And so I'm in the Scratch folder, so I get this prompt, right? So I say, you know, I don't trust this folder. But I have another folder set up, which is my source folder. And let's go to the code folder, and we say code insiders again, open this folder. I trust everything in the source folder. That's where I put all the code that like I write, maybe some code that you wrote, Burke. Everything from Microsoft I clone into this particular folder. And you see, I don't get any trust prompts because I've already made that decision. I've already said to myself, everything that I put in this folder, I trust. I don't want to be prompted, right? And the way that I do that is, you know, by opening up the workspace trust editor, which you can get to from a number of different places, right? From the gear, there's manage workspace trust. From the command palette, you can say manage workspace trust, and I'll bring up this edit. All those will bring up this editor. And there's a few things you can see down here under trusted folders and workspaces. I've got a few folders that are set up that are trusted. So you can see right here, the thing that's bolded and italic is this instance of Ubuntu, and I trust this folder. I've got another WSL instance I trust for the same folder there. And on my local Windows machine, I trust the source folder, right? And so this is how it's controlled, where when I go into one of these folders, I don't get a trust prompt. If I go over into my Scratch folder and open up something over there, Ciders, we reuse the same instance. This is where I'm going to get that trust prompt. Now, we can take this one step further, right? It's like, all right, I've already decided that anything in the Scratch folder, what happened there? Anything in the Scratch folder is untrusted. So I don't need to be asked every single time that I go and open something from the Scratch folder, right? What I can do and what I really have set up is under my workspace settings, workspace trust. I typically run with this setting here, trust startup prompt to be never, all right? And so what that means is I won't get prompted, but I will always see this banner across the top. So let's start from this folder again, right? So I'm in Scratch, I open up a folder, and what you'll notice now is when I start, I'm not prompted to trust that folder, right? It already will know, it already assumed that it is untrusted. I get the restricted mode banner because I've made that decision. So I configured my machine basically in two ways. I say anything that's in this folder, I don't trust, run in restricted mode. Anything in the source folder I do trust, let me just go and party on. And so that's like a simple way to set up your machine so that you're safe, you're secure, and you're not prompted all of the time.
So I think that's a very fascinating sort of mental model for dealing with the prompts. And I also think it's interesting that the first thing that I thought was when I started clicking was like, this is going to desensitize me because I'm just clicking trust, trust, trust. It's like trying to dismiss the cookie banner on a website, right? Like, yeah I don't care, yeah. Right? But there's information in there. It's trying to warn you. It's trying to tell you, you may not want to do this. Are you sure? And I think that this sort of like having trusted folders and then having untrusted folders is a good way to stop yourself from getting desensitized.
Right, right. You make one decision, right? And you put everything that you don't trust in that one folder, and everything from there runs in restricted mode. You don't have to get prompted every time, or you get desensitized, as you say. But the trusted folder, everything just works as expected.
Well, that's Workspace Trust. We are a few minutes over time, so thank you, Chris, for joining us. Everybody, check out Chris's blog on Workspace Trust, which actually dives into it quite a bit and a lot of the decisions that were made there and why it is a thing. So check that out. Thank you, Chris.
You bet.
All right, we've had a couple questions about this shirt. Every time I wear the shirt, there's some biscuit on it. I made biscuits this morning. We get the question, where do I get the shirt? You can get the shirt. Can we throw up the link? There it is. You can get your own shirt right here. There you go. Let's see. A couple of last minute notes for you. Let's see here. What do we have? What do you want? Producers, what do you want me to mention here? Oh, yep. So you can see the rest of the new features on the release notes. We got a link to that. Can we drop a link into the release notes here? Oh, there you go. 158. So there you go. There's much more in the release than what you've seen here. But thank you so much for joining us today. And we will see you next month for the July release. And we have a live stream later this week. Don't we have a live stream later this week? Can I get an affirmative on that? I think we do. On Thursday. Yes, we do. You can go to code.visualstudio.com/livestream. Join us. We're going to be talking with Prisma, who makes an ORM, TypeScript ORM for databases. We're excited about that. Please join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you next time.